So, Amy, what is something that you couldn't wait to be an adult to finally be able to do?
Well, you know that I have wanderlust. I love to travel. So I could not wait to hit the road on my own. Without my parents. Friends, of course, attached.
So you wanted to be able to travel without parental supervision.
Exactly. And I did finally get to do this. My first road trip with my friend Kimber. We went on the road my junior year to go visit the university that we wanted to go to. Oh. Just the two of us. Oh. Oh my goodness. Of course, I got rear-ended on that trip. So it was not a great first outing, but you know, I was still happy that I was footloose and free, man. I was into it. How about you?
Well, first of all, I just want to point out for the sake of the Enneagram One that when you get rear-ended, it's their fault. It's not your fault, at least in California.
But when you're 17, you don't necessarily realize that. Like somebody on site, I think I was apologizing to the man who hit me, probably.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
Somebody on site was like, no, sister, it was his fault. I'm like, oh, whew, okay.
Okay, that's a hysterical. I love that bunny trail so very much. Okay, so mine is related. I just wanted my driver's license. I didn't actually want to, like, I didn't have wanderlust, but I wanted the freedom to have the option to leave the house. So I exercised that freedom greatly by like running to the store every chance we needed anything and, you know, mm-hmm. running out for reasons that didn't need to happen, like looking for clothes that I didn't have the money to buy. And the irony now is I don't want to go anywhere if I have to drive, especially if I have to drive by myself. I'm like, right now we have a grocery list that's been on the fridge for a week and a half. And I'm like, I think I can make it 2 weeks. I might even be able to make it three if the cats don't go through too much kitty litter.
That's awesome. Well, there are some things that we have to wait for until we're adults, but there are some things that we shouldn't have to wait for until we're older to experience. They are our birthright from day one.
Yeah, like knowing that you are loved and cherished by God.
Yes. And there's knowing, and then there's knowing. We had a listener who said this, in theory, I know that I'm loved by God as much as other people.
Oh, you know, that phrase, in theory, I resonate with her so very much. I mean, you and I are both good church girls, and I bet you had as many stars as I did on your memory verse chart. So it's that head knowledge, but there's something so challenging, at least for some of us, about getting that knowledge that we are loved and cherished by God all the way into our hearts.
So true.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're talking with Lynn Cowell, author of Loved and Cherished, 100 Devotions for Girls. Lynn Cowell is a member of the Proverbs 31 speaker and writer teams. As an author of several books, her passion is to empower tweens, teens, and women with the confidence of Christ.
Lynn calls home North Carolina, where she and her husband Greg and the occasional backyard deer are adjusting to life as just us. Greg and Lynn love spending time with their three adult children, hiking, blasting 80s music, and eating anything combining chocolate and peanut butter.
We're so excited to share Lynn's newest book with you today. Am I loved? Am I valuable? Am I smart? The questions can go on and on for as long as a girl's imagination and self-image allow. A girl needs to know that she is enough because of God's love.
So often, girls and women give in to the lies that how they look and how popular they are determine their worth. But as children of God, we can have the confidence that we are loved, protected, secure, whole, and valuable because God is our Heavenly Father.
Loved and Cherished equips girls ages 8 to 12 to discover perfect, unconditional love in God and that she doesn't have to perform or be perfect to receive that love.
To know she has God's protection despite living in an often scary world.
To let go of heartaches, fears, and failures because she has the love she needs to face it.
To build a strong foundation of faith on the love who will never leave her so she can face the challenges of growing up.
With a beautifully decorated cover, ribbon marker, and lovely page illustrations, this book of devotions will make the perfect gift for any girl in your life who deserves to know that she's cherished, treasured, valuable, and worthy.
It's also a great gift for the girl who lives in the heart of every grown woman.
Lynn, welcome back to Grit and Grace.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. You know, I'm not getting as much friend time as I would normally like, so I'm so excited. I mean, I literally feel like you and Sherry are here hanging out with me, and yeah, I'm so happy to spend time with you too.
Well, we love you as a dear friend, but also you're one of our favorite guests. And I think one of the reasons you're a favorite is because your heart is so meshed with ours. And you have told us both that the whole Live Your One Life Well, our new focus, really connects with your book, Loved and Cherished. So tell us about that.
So my favorite way to spend time with you two is on my walks. So I pull up your podcast and I feel like I'm not walking alone as I spend time with you two. But as I listened to your 2.0 episode, that's when I reached out to you guys, because all I could think of as I was walking down my driveway was yes, yes, yes. Because your new movement forward, I feel like I've moved with you. And I feel like I am a product of losing who I'm not. And I'm pretty far into loving who I am. And I really do thank the Lord that I feel like I'm living my one life well. But as I've been going through that process, I've also begun to wonder, and maybe you guys have too, even as you were writing Exhale, is what would have happened if I had taken these steps earlier?
Yes.
Yeah. What would have happened if at some point in my young girl life, someone would have come along beside me and told me, you know, you don't have to pretend to be perfect. You don't have to work so hard. And so I feel like now that's part of my living my one life well, is to help young girls and their moms know that they're loved and cherished so that they can have the confidence in Christ to live their one life well and to lose who they're not. And so I really truly believe that the earlier a girl can understand this, the better. And that evidence and research shows that the girls not knowing this is truly devastating. So before I wrote Loved and Cherished with my co-author, professional counselor, Michelle Niedert, I was doing some research. And according to the Center for Disease Control, suicide is the second leading cause of death among children and young adults ages 10 to 24.
Wow.
And another troubling trend is that suicide among girls is on the rise. And it's particularly disturbing to read that it is so in Black children. The national data revealed that children ages 5 to 11, that Black children are at the highest rate of death by suicide. And so these things are not declining. The more educated we become, the more progressive our culture becomes. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's our children taking their lives, which tells us they don't know.
Oh gosh, Lynn, you've got us all crying now. So how does knowing that we're loved, which is so key, play a big part in losing who we're not?
So when I started thinking about this, losing who they're not and loved and how they're meshed together, the first thing I did was just to look up, what does love mean? You know, what is the definition of love? And so dictionary.com says that the noun of love means a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection. So to be loved is when you are the recipient of tender, passionate, and deep affection with a warm personal attachment. Like, how rich is that? Who wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that? And what I don't hear in that definition is any action on the part of the receiver. There's no evaluation taking place there. So I think that in today's culture, a young girl is continually in a position of evaluation. And ladies, don't you feel that way too, as women as well?
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, sometimes it's not even an evaluation of others around it. It's that evaluation of ourselves. Like both of you, you know, we've talked about the whole inner critic thing, right? So sometimes that evaluation is external, but so often it's internal. And I think that inner critic starts early. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she starts asking herself, you know, am I loved? Am I valuable? Am I smart? Am I pretty? And then these questions can go on as long as her imagination and her insecurities allow. And it starts young. And yes, it can come from social media. It can come from social pressures. But you know what? I've seen where I've done it to my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's been parental pressure or parental absence. And so a girl just really needs to know that she is cherished. And 1 John 4:19 tells her why, because he first loved us. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with us, that right this very minute, she doesn't have to change a thing, that she can know that she's loved, accepted, worth, and has security as she's moving through these crazy years of moving from a girl to a woman.
You're making me think of my students. I've taught junior high all the way through high school, and you're making me think of, I just read an article saying that a lot of girls, especially, one of the benefits of the distance education during the lockdown was this sudden removal of the in-person bullying and the in-person mean girl stuff that was happening at school. And so the article was all about helping the girls get ready to re-enter school and face that kind of stuff again. And it, just some beautiful quotes from the girls about what it was like to just live without that for several months.
Michelle and I have heard that too on our, we're doing a podcast called Raising Brave Beauties. Mm. We just did one recently with Cindy Boltema and her daughter about the bullying that takes place at the lunch table.
Yeah.
You know, and right now they don't have the lunch table. And how many girls are happy to not have to get up every day and face that? So again, that just points us back to, what do they need inside for facing that type of unlovely atmosphere that many of our kids walk into each day.
Yeah. So I'm very much like you. I have definitely been one who, you know, as Amy and I worked out this this message for Exhale, lose who you're not, love who you are, live your one life well. I'm definitely one who, even now, I look back and I'm like, oh, if only I could turn back time and get all of this right as a much younger person. What can we do now to make a difference in the life of a young girl so she begins that process to lose who she's not, love who she is, and then really be ready to live her one life well earlier than, I'm not going to name any decades, but earlier than we did. And, you know, possibly change the trajectory of the life of a young girl in our own lives now.
Absolutely. So if for 1 second, you know, we can picture the little girls in our lives, you know, I know all of us are past that stage ourselves. My girls are now 26 and 23, but, you know, I can still picture them getting on the bus, heading to school, and that trepidation sometimes that went with that, the whole, you know, mean girl scenario. And a girl can feel like at this time in the stage of her life that she's all alone. Nobody gets what she feels. They haven't quite sometimes learned to find a safe place yet to start talking about these feelings that they have. And then these feelings can become really deep-seated emotions, and they can, you know, I picture them kind of like claws, you know, clamping onto our minds, and they become so deep, and she doesn't know what to do with these things. She doesn't even recognize that is what is happening because she's too immature to deal with it yet. But then as these things get pushed down, at some point they start bubbling to the surface, and we start seeing, you know, behaviors that we want to punish because we're not sure what this stuff is. And so it looks like out of control behavior or anger or even anger related depression. And then we can start seeing her have difficulties in intimate relationships. Maybe she's having friendship problems at school or rebellion or isolation. But, and I'm so glad, aren't you so glad when you're reading your Bible, you know, in the morning and all of a sudden you come across that word, but, like, I'm so glad it's in God's word. I'm so glad it's a part of our English language. But building up foundations of God's love and acceptance early in her life can help to offset potential problems. I'm not saying it's going to make it all go away, but I'm even witnessing the effects of it in the lives of my young adult daughter, you know, that knowing no matter what, if she's single, if she's married, if she, you know, whatever, she's loved and she gets that. And so that's kind of the drive in my life right now, is to begin to help a girl get it young and then build on this foundation of the fact that she is loved, that she is cherished exactly the way she is, and build upon that rather than seeing as much repair has been needed in my life. And, you know, I know in your guys' lives as well.
Absolutely. So when a young girl knows that she's loved, and you've given us the example, I know your daughter just lives and thrives in that. So when a young girl knows that, how does this impact her ability to love others?
You know, like if we go back to that verse I brought up earlier, the 1 John 4:19, I quoted the last part, he first loved us. But if we go back to the first part, it says we love. So when we get how deeply we are loved, then we can begin to love. And I remember my middle daughter, Mariah, when she was in high school, there was a situation where another young person was not accepted. Let's just say that, right? Was not accepted and really was struggling hard to have just one friend at school. And Mariah began to sit with this person during lunch. And it was just, to me, a beautiful thing to see her take the risk of loving someone else, even if she could be ostracized for sharing that love. But I believe this because Mariah herself knew she was loved, so she could then extend that to another person. And that, knowing we are loved, that can infiltrate every area of our life and in the lives of our kids. So whether it falls under the category of bullying or prejudice or racism, all the kinds of ways that society rejects people, people that Jesus never rejected. Wow, if we can build that into the lives of our kids can change the world, right? Because they know that they're loved, so they can love anyone, period.
Well, and I think I just want to extend this, because knowing Mariah a little bit, that love that you invested in her and that you taught her about God has translated even into a career choice, because she's a social worker. And so her career choice has been shaped by knowing she is loved.
So we've talked a little bit here about what it can look like when a young girl who knows she is loved becomes a confident, secure woman who knows that she is loved. So from a girl who knows she's loved to a woman who knows she's loved. So what are some practical steps we can take to help a girl know that she is loved and cherished?
I think that it's part of what your podcast is doing, and that is that it's knowing ourselves, right? So like one of the things we're hearing a lot of in all the different kinds of social issues that we're experiencing today is it begins at home. So whatever particular topic you want to jump on, it begins with us. So when you and I, when Sherry and Amy and all of our listeners, when we know that we are loved, that begins to ooze out of us and that begins to translate to others. So it starts with us doing our own head work, our own heart work. And that's part of why I wrote the Bible study I wrote for women, Make Your Move, was because I needed confidence. I was the girl, the woman who was up and down based on, did she like me? Did she not like me? Did I feel approval today? Did I not feel approval today? And I was sick and tired of that. And I knew that God didn't want that for me either. And so I wrote a Bible study on developing Christ confidence because I needed Christ confidence. It begins, right, with us doing the hard work ourselves. And then, and as we are growing, right? Because, you know, this is a continual thing. Some days we're doing awesome and other days we're like, wow, I just slid back 3 steps. Well, get up and move forward again. But as we're learning, we begin to speak the truth into any young girl around us. And so that might be a daughter, but it might be the neighbor girl. I know Amy has a little neighbor she's always hanging out with. So maybe, yeah. So maybe you have a neighbor girl, your niece, your granddaughter. You know, for you, Sherry, it would be your students. And help remove this ridiculous standard of perfectionism that we are perpetuating. You know, we're like, we hate it. We're trying to break free. And yet we're inadvertently passing this on to the next generation. Let's stop it. And the way to stop it is by knowing that we are loved and to start promoting risk-taking and failing. You know, like failing isn't a failure. Risk-taking and failing is another way to learn. But the way that you have the kind of power to do that is when you know you're loved and your love isn't based on failure.
I'm going to interrupt and ask you both, do you feel that women our age, okay, and that's in quote, do you feel like women our age are starting to do a little bit better at this sort of thing? Like starting to question more, starting to be a little more honest, starting to revisit things that we had accepted blindly since childhood? Or is it my imagination?
No, I know I have. And I'm not sure whether it's a movement amongst women or it's just because we've gotten to that sassy old age that we are. That we're like, nobody gets to tell me what this should look like anymore. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
I think that there is. And you know what? I'll be honest. I think COVID's helping us. You know, I was paranoid to do anything, you know, podcast, Facebook Live, any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, when your ability to communicate with people is shut down, you know, when I can no longer go out and share this passion that I can't contain, I can't go and speak the way I spoke before, I think that COVID's helped me. You know, it's helped me to be like, you know what, it's not going to be perfect. So what? I'm here. I'm showing up. So I even think that the pandemic has helped us a little bit with that. And you are absolutely right, Amy. I think the older I get, I'm getting to the point of, you don't like me. Sorry, I like me. Exactly. It's taking me so long to get here.
Okay, sorry, Lynn, I didn't mean to interrupt your great list of practical things. I just, I wanted to say, I do think that we're seeing, at least in some people, and I hadn't thought of that, but you're right, the sheltering in place means we've had to get innovative and still find ways to do things. And I think we've discovered that nobody worthwhile has unfriended us because our hair didn't look great. In fact, you know, people were sharing their what we looked like and everybody was fine with it, so.
Yeah, you guys were joking with me right before, you know, about how long my hair has gotten. Well, when you haven't had a haircut in 5 months, this is what it looks like. What you get. And you know what? I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think some of the other practical things that we can do is that we can, you know, kind of like what we're talking about, we can share how God has filled our own empty spaces. You know, we can, I love what my friend Julie says is, as she says, you know, we can open the front door, you know, like we keep everything real pretty on the outside, but we can open the front door, say, come on in, you know, here's my hurting places and here's what God has done in me. And then also, you know, we can gift books like Loved and Cherished that speaks truth into their hearts, right?
And everybody should. Yes.
Okay. So Lynn, tell us and tell our listeners a little bit more about this book. I got a copy of it before our time together here and it is beautiful.
Yes.
And as I was reading through the table of contents and just reading some of these devotions, I'm like, I need a copy of this for myself. And I know you're going to tell us it was written for younger girls, but I'm like, there is a little girl part of my heart that still needs to be nurtured and taken care of by me at this stage in my life. So tell us who you actually wrote it for.
I'm smiling so hard because when I go and speak, the adult women always gravitate to my young girl books because they like the covers of them. And then I'm like, no, yours are down there. But I get a lot of feedback from moms on Brave Beauty, just saying, I bought this book for my daughter, but as I read it to her, I realized how much I needed this truth. So my husband, when my daughters were grown up, I thought, you know, I'm done writing books for little girls. you know, I'm 52 years old right now. I should be past that. And yet I still keep having this passion to continue writing for them as well as writing for adult women. And whenever I say that, my husband always is like, you know, we're all just the same. It's little girls and big girls are the same. We still have the same need. We still have the same love gap. You just write it a little bit differently. So you're absolutely right, Sherry. Big girls need to know that they are loved and cherished just as much as little girls. And so the way this book is formatted is it's 100 devotions for girls that, you know, they can read. You know, the way I used to do it when my kids were little is I did what we called breakfast in the Bible. And they had to be at the breakfast table at 7. And for my teenagers at the time, that was not real fun. But for my elementary school girls, 7 was early. But, you know, they'd feed their bellies and I'd feed their hearts. So that's kind of how I started writing for little people.
Well, for the big people, the big girls that are listening, give us a last word of encouragement, Lynn, about, I loved what you just said about how we can fill our love gap.
I started calling it that when I was pretty young, when I was a single girl, because I just felt like I could never get enough attention from anybody. You know, it didn't matter where the attention was coming from. I could never get enough of it. And the other day I was watching videos of me as a little girl and everybody else is kind of hanging out and I'm there like poking my head into the camera, wanting attention and, you know, look at me. And so I began to realize I had this like insatiable desire that could never be filled by people. And then as I began to discover how madly crazy in love Jesus was with me, it started to go away because he filled it. And so I have to keep filling it because it keeps leaking out every day of my life. And I do that by spending time with him every day. Like I try to start before I have a chance to, we'll just say it before I have a chance to sin all over people. I try to spend time with him, filling up my heart so that what leaks out is him toward other people and not that desire to be first, to be, you know, I'm an Enneagram 3. I'm sure you have some listeners who are 3s too. And you know what? We just crave people paying attention to us. So me knowing that Jesus is doing that fills that place so I'm not grasping to receive that from other people.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 199 of Grit and Grace, the podcast.
Listeners, we're so grateful that you join us each and every week.
And we're so grateful to Lynn Cowell, author of Loved and Cherished, 100 Devotions for Girls, for her financial support in making this week's podcast possible.
It's the perfect book for the girl in your life.
And for the little girl that still lives inside of each woman's heart.
Check out the webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode199. There you'll find this week's transcript, a link to order Lynn's book, Loved and Cherished, 100 Devotions for Girls, and links to practical resources on Lynn's website.
If you're not yet a member of our Facebook group, we would love to have you join us. Just search Facebook for Grit and Grace, the community, and you'll find us.
Join us next week when we'll be processing what we've learned from our conversation with Lynn.
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.